Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, Dr. Stephen Cervantes and I are going to discuss the emotional and spiritual awakening journey for men. We've seen it many times in our ministry. And so we explore the challenges of emotional disconnection and the impact of societal expectation on men's emotional health. Stephen also shares insights on moving from hiddenness and brokenness to a fuller life in Christ. And we emphasize the importance of expressing needs and feelings and the courage that it takes to wake up emotionally. We're also going to share our own personal stories and some practical advice, and in hopes that it helps you to connect more deeply with your emotions and relationships. So men, we invite you to join us on the journey of emotional and spiritual growth. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we're always going to invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's go ahead and dig into today's topic on waking up. Well, all right, we're back with Dr. Stephen Cervantes. How's it going today?
Good. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. Jesus loves me. I'm married. I'm going forward. I'm doing ministry with you. Could it get any better than that?
It's awesome. Yeah. And you just reached a big mile marker, 70.
Oh,
so that's a big, big celebration.
And feeling good, you know.
Well, you know what's cool? So last year in 2024, my wife and I were able to get away for a development retreat. It was something for like ministry leaders. And we were able to get away for a few days with this amazing couple that does this. They do, they kind of are coaches and counselors that help folks just think through transitions. And, you know, all of our kids are grown now. We've got things happening with the ministry in terms of continuing to move it forward. Well, one of the things that I really took away from him that I want to encourage you with is he said, did you know that research shows that the most impactful years for men are after the age of 60?
Ooh.
So you're in the sweet spot, man.
You are
in your most impactful years. And I thought, that's amazing. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, it's when you're young and it's when you're a builder and it's when you're doing all these. And it's actually the sage years, the guru year, the years in which you're like, hey, there's actual wisdom that can be multiplied. And so
interesting, because I thought I was going to peak at 50. I don't know why. I'm going to be in my sweet spot. But I'm in it now.
Yeah.
Which makes,
well, that's good news for me, because I'm in my 50s now, and so it's like my sweet spot's still coming, so I'm looking forward to that. Well, you know, we have for years, for many, many years now, Stephen, we have been trying to help men especially go from a place of hiddenness, dividedness, brokenness, to really experiencing the fullness of the abundant life that Christ has for us, the joy of living in the light and having thriving relationships. And with every single one of the men that we've helped, there is this sort of waking up phase, right?
Right.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But we're going to talk about it not only in terms of like, what does waking up look like, but what does it look like if you don't wake up? Like, what are you in for if you don't press through in kind of that waking up to a new life?
And, you know, I've had the opportunity to be there when a few men wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing when they put it together. You mean, I've been doing this, and I see it now, I'm supposed to be doing that? Oh, I get why I'm stuck. I sort of see where I am. And I can't say I've seen this thousands of times, because it happens quietly and on your own. Nobody shows up and goes, guess what? Where's the line?
I woke up.
Yeah, I woke up. I'm going to get in the I woke up line. No. But every now and then you get to sit there in the moment where you see the lights coming on, the system turning on, and going, oh, my goodness, I'm not dying the same.
Mm-hmm.
Something is happening, and I am awake. I see what I haven't seen. I hear. I sense. My whole system is turned on. And think about it, a dampened system, a shut down system, waking up, because that's really what we're talking about. And it's phenomenal because you had to wake up at one point. I had to wake up at one point. Everybody has to wake up and get in the big fight, because we often get caught in the little fight, coping, surviving, managing, versus get in the big game and be in the big fight. And so that's a little bit of what today's discussion is about. So you have to have a context. When you introduce a topic, you have to go, what's the context around the topic? So this gentleman I'm talking to, he said, when I was a boy, I didn't think it was okay to express my needs, what I wanted. And I felt confused a lot. I stayed inside a lot. And I had these moods and irritations and disappointments, but I couldn't talk to anybody about them. My parents were struggling. I didn't want to bother my mother, my father. They were lost in their own lives. And so I just sort of stuffed everything inside. I didn't have words or skills that I needed to get it out. And I had no safe place to talk about it. I got through life, but it was a struggle because there was no place to talk, to be known. Coping was my life. Mm-hmm. Surviving is what I did. Managing is how I lived. Everyone around me was busy, and they were surviving on their own. And their problems were big. I was a kid. I had little problems. So I didn't want to mess with the adults and make their life worse. So my goal was to just get through the day with being least stressful to dad so he didn't get mad and set off, or mom, or they weren't fighting about the kids or money, about us. And so I sort of just kept everything inside and managed alone. But when you're a kid trying to figure out life, there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah, and this is, while all the details can differ, this is really the core story that we hear from most of the men that we serve in our ministry, is this idea of there's an emotional disconnect. There is a sense in which there's confusion, there's isolation that begins to happen. And usually what happens is then this boy is left to essentially say, I got to figure all these things out on my own. And I got to figure out life. I got to figure out relationships. I don't really have an understanding of what it means to really be a connected, vibrant, you know, person in life and in relationships.
So it wasn't safe to express my needs. No one else was talking and working and dialoguing and solving and being in union, resolving issues. They were surviving and coping. There were no healthy role models. Now, look, I don't want to trash my mom and dad. Dad went to work. He was a good man. He sacrificed. I'm just saying, emotionally, the place was immature. It was stunted. There was not a lot of openness going on. So I love my mother. I love my father. They had heavy lives. Mm-hmm. And so where was my example? I needed an example of how to live, how to develop, how to vent out my feelings and express them. And if it doesn't exist, then you go into coping and surviving and managing.
Yeah, and when we're talking about, so this scenario here, the other thing that I think is important to highlight here is when we're talking about waking up, when we're talking about a guy coming to his senses, so to speak, all these factors that we're talking about here do not render a man incapable of being very competent and very skilled in work and in other kinds of things. I mean, this does not, what we've even outlined here in terms of a scenario is really about the soul. It's about the emotions, about the inner man.
Yes.
We meet guys all the time that are high level executives, incredibly competent. Just guys that are skilled and successful. And yet there's a sense in which on the inside, there's a real deficiency. There's a brokenness. There's a disconnectedness. There's a dividedness in the soul. So we don't want you to think that the things that we're saying here, it's like, oh, the waking up is now this guy becomes successful, or now this guy is. No, these guys are often already very competent and skilled, but in the arena of the soul, there's a darkening. There's a, like you said, the dampening. There's a sense in which they're asleep.
This sort of taps into a topic we talked about in another podcast. But I said, I don't think you're very emotional, and I really don't think you practice sadness very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, where in the Bible does it say I have to be sad? Now, this the Bible guy knew his Bible, but the emotional system's not quite working well. But, I mean, I was going, grieve with those who grieve, mourn with those who mourn, quick, what are the, you know what I mean? Jesus wept, Father, can you let this cup pass? Anyway, the point is, you don't know what's wrong with you if you develop a coping, surviving style and you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know there's quirks and flaws that hinder you from living more powerfully and engaging your spouse and connecting well.
And that's a good point, because it means that we learn, like we're seeing even in this scenario of this guy here, we learn to just have a different way of measuring ourselves. So we measure by, hey, how much money am I making? Good, boy, I'm doing great. We measure by success. We measure by these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put it up against how God has created us in his image, then we start realizing, maybe I'm more broken than I think I am. Maybe I'm more empty than I think I am. And by the way, even to that guy that says, where in the Bible, I'm like, there is a whole book called Lamentations. 1/3 of the Psalms are lament Psalms. Like, we're supposed to be sad.
I was going to say, the Psalms are hard sometimes. God, where are you? God, the enemy's upon me. God, is this the end? Where are you? Crying out to God, on and on. Okay. All right. But that's a different discussion. So then what does it look like when a man has sort of dampened down his emotional system, and he still has to cope and live and survive and go on through life and be successful? Well, we know he's not, let's be consistent with this. He's not awake emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? He's sort of, his system is put to sleep because he's going to overuse his logic, and he's going to overfix, and he's going to be behaviorally trying to perform. But here's the question. When you see a person whose system is not working, you can tell because they overdo this next list of behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the word, and you tell me how you think men do it. When I performed well, but I don't have any peace, rest, or joy in my soul, I escape, and I practice escaping.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like, Jonathan?
Oh, my goodness. We see it all the time in guys that use porn, right? I'm going to go escape to a fantasy. I'm going to go escape to some kind of sexual pleasure. I'm not going to address what's right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be a number of triggers like, hey, I don't know how to be sad. I don't know how to engage this woman. I don't know how to deal with this difficulty at work. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go escape. I'm going to go get a little pleasure fix. I'm going to go into a fantasy of something that does not require me to take an emotional step. It doesn't require me to actually engage on a level of dealing with stress or dealing with these emotions.
And all the addictions, right, are escaping.
Totally.
Whether I eat or gamble or drink or drug, then you could also escape into internet and video games. And I mean, people read the news 24 hours a day and they just go to another world, right? Mm-hmm. Escape. Because I don't know what to do with me. So I perform for you and I escape. And I perform and I escape. And you see that happening. Okay. The other dilemma, if you're not trained and you're half asleep, then there's a dilemma of you only being half present. You're not fully present.
Yeah, and the way I would say this is, we talk a lot about, we use the word divided. There's a dividedness in a person that's saying, hey, there's a part of me, maybe there's half of me that I will allow to be presentable, that I will actually give to you, that I will let you see, that I will let you touch and experience. There's half of me that mm-hmm. I'll do that. Right. But there's a whole nother part of me, this part that's really asleep, that I'm like, I don't even go there. So I'm not letting anybody else there either. So a lot of times that can look like, you know, we sometimes, I'll give you an example of what we talk about in the workshop sometimes about the need for what they call the principle of reciprocity in communication, especially when you're dealing with emotional issues. And I'll use the illustration of a swimming pool. And you've got a shallow end of the pool and you've got a deep end of the pool. And the conversations that happen in the shallow end of the pool are like sports, politics, and weather.
Yes.
Those are not threatening to this part of myself that I never let anybody see. That's down at the deep end of the pool. Yeah. And so what this can look like then in relationship or in communication is you have, you know, two guys that are standing in the shallow end of the pool and they're doing sports, politics, and weather. And then one of them says, man, I got to share with you, you know what, last week I got on the internet and I looked at porn and I masturbated. And he's gone down to the deep end of the pool. And if they're going to continue in dialogue, that other guy has to meet him there with something of his own self.
Yeah.
Some kind of understanding, some kind of empathy. Otherwise, the dialogue doesn't continue. And so that's one of the ways of being half present.
Yes.
I'm not really going to bring my full vulnerable self here. Mm. I'll be the presenter. I'll be the jock. I'll be the, you know, successful guy, but not broken, hurting, emotional guy.
So half present looks like shallow. They say easy and simple things.
Mm-hmm.
Very common sense, practical things.
Sports, politics, and weather, right?
Right, just simple, easy. That's half present. I'm here, I'm looking at you. What do you want me to say? Okay, just what do you want me to say? That's being half present. Because
mm-hmm.
I'll say whatever you want, because I'm not talking. So what do you want me to say? That's half present. So the next on the list is keeping secrets. Look, we all struggle. We all make mistakes. Life was hard. We did things wrong. And if you're going through life and working in groups and being with men and telling stories, it's one thing. But if you're keeping lots of secrets.
Yeah, and you'll notice that as we go through these, I mean, a lot of them, they overlap, they intertwine, you know, mm-hmm. so it's not like these are all distinct from one another. You've got one guy that's keeping secrets and one guy that's escaping. No, it's usually there's intertwining there. But what I see about this is the underlying factor, I think at the heart or at the root of all secrets is fear.
Right.
There's fear because it's like, I don't know where I could share this. I don't know what I could do about this. And so part of that, the secrecy is fear, and fear manifests hiding, which is then why we keep secrets. So not to get too far ahead, but part of waking up is realizing you need safe enough places where you can bring your full self
yes.
into the light and eliminate that fear. You need to realize we need no shame zones. We need places where we can understand
yeah.
that the light of God that's on us in Christ is saying, I know all of you and all of you is forgiven. So quit hiding, quit keeping secrets.
And I think secrets consume energy.
Oh my goodness.
And they keep us on guard.
You've got to lie.
And you have to
think
lie.
Think about how many, I mean, oh my goodness, Stephen, my life was so, so stressful when I was at the height of my addiction. Cause it was like, I had so many lies going.
Yes.
It's like trying to keep all these plates spinning and thinking, okay, what lie did I tell to Steve? What lie did I tell to my wife? What lie did I tell this? Oh my goodness, what if these two people talk to each other? I mean, it is just stressful.
And when you said fear, it's like, will you love me if you know this dumb thing that I did? Will
right.
you still love me?
Mm-hmm.
So I put the next two together, coping and surviving. So, right, if you're not working on growth and engaging, you still have to live life, but you do a lot of coping and surviving and getting by. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, again, I think there's a lot of overlap here. I'm trying to think of some specifics of what that can look like. You know, this is the guy that just says, hey, listen, I do my job. I punch in, I punch out. I provide. I'm a provider. That's basically how I'm going to measure my success as a man is do I make sure all the bills are paid and there's food
yes.
on the table? And that's a coping and surviving.
Yeah, and it's a very low standard of living. Yeah, we have food, clothing, and shelter. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But But that's the base standard, right? That's not the richness that we were promised.
And this is probably a person that does not have many male friendships, not engaging in many activities. There's a sense in which I'm just, again, trying to get by and not do anything for the nourishment of my soul or to be connected with people in an authentic way.
And that rolls into the thought about being a loner. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows me. I keep it to myself. I'm safe. I'm in control. I manage me and I get through life and I protect by coping and surviving. Mm-hmm. We could throw that in there also. Numbing out.
If you think about it, this is just a continuation of probably what already exists in the soul of this man. Because as we've kind of painted this context and this scenario of this guy that when he was young, you know, listen, I don't have anybody that's really mentoring me. I don't know what it looks like to be a man. I feel very alone and isolated. There's already a numbing that was going on in his soul. So that's why there's the sleepiness, the sluggishness to his soul. He doesn't know how to actually connect. And that's so it's just easier to escape and cope and say, okay, I'm looking at porn. And progressively, the soul just gets number and number. It's like, I'm not responding to maybe social cues when somebody says, hey, what was exciting in your week? What happened to you that was exciting this week? The only way I know how to answer that is, well, let me tell you about something that happened at work. Or let me tell you about, I watched the basketball game the other night and so-and-so scored 35 points. It's like not myself. Myself is not coming into the conversation. I'm numb.
I think that goes with being asleep, being numb, being disconnected. Those are kind of all in the same camp there, right? Mm-hmm. And wanting to numb out. If I have any feelings at all, if I use alcohol, I can numb myself out, right? If I smoke some pot or use some substance to just, I don't want to feel. Feelings are bad. I don't want to feel. I don't want you to feel. I don't want to feel. Let's just behave and perform and go through life.
Yeah, in some ways, the numbing out to what you're saying right there is it's learning the skill to really avoid emotional connection. So there's a sense in which almost the irony here is that this is a person that really actually has a great radar for emotions, like in others. But has learned to say, make sure I don't connect or make sure I don't have to share anything.
That's a good point.
So it's like, I'm not going to go
there. They know them. They feel them, right? And then they disengage. So there's really a sense of being okay with being lost. I don't know, but I'll just do this. I'm not sure, but I don't want to talk to somebody. Just do this thing. Just live a life that's safe and repetitive. And you can kind of control, right? But there's a sense of lost. I don't have any vision. I don't engage well. I'm like a behavioral being going through life because I'm lost. I don't know what to do, and I'm not even asking anymore because everything's gone numb. I do a lot of escaping, numbing out, coping, and surviving. And there's a real sense of, where are you? I mean, where really are you?
And one of the ways that I think this manifests, or maybe some telltale signs of if this is manifesting, is when this person is ever asked about how they're feeling, the answer could be, I don't know, or fine. You know, there's not any depth to the answer. It's like, and we talk about this all the time in the workshop about the Lost Boys. They just, all their answers to every question, I don't know. Well, what did that feel like? I don't know. And it's like, again, there's an avoidance to that.
Yes.
But I think there's also a little bit of truth in that, because think about the context of this story that we were telling of a guy growing up in an atmosphere where it's just chaotic emotionally.
Yeah.
And nobody was training him on how to regulate his own emotions or even identify his own emotions. And then there's no mentoring going on. So there is a sense in which, that boy was sort of just pushed out to sea of life. And hope your sail works.
But you know, when you say that, that sounds so powerful. I don't know. But he's really saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting twist on that? I think they're saying the truth. I don't really know. I'm not that deep.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it. I don't know. Why are you asking me? I decided being lost and just, you know, going with the flow and fitting in is the best I can do.
Mm.
Okay. So there is a sense of wrestling with your own thoughts and not being able to get to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a fear, a doubt, a questioning, a hiding, a division. There's always a restlessness in the soul that can't find the place it's supposed to be.
And usually that journey is always continued in isolation. And I think that's the reason there's so much frustration with the man who's asleep emotionally or asleep spiritually, is the idea of he's doing all of this searching internally on his own, isolated, you know, trying to see if, you know, Google or AI can answer the questions of life for him,
yeah,
and not actually engaging relationship. And that's the key thing I think that we want to highlight here is waking up is a deeply relational experience. So you can't just go learn, oh, you know what? So I need this emotional awakening. Guess what? Your emotions do not thrive and come awake in isolation. If you think about that for
That's just right. A minute,
that's our emotional right. Selves cannot thrive apart from relationship. Think about all the emotions. I can feel them, but I cannot experience them fully without relationship. So think about sadness and fear and love and joy,
yes,
and all those things. I may be able to have a sensation of those emotions, but if I'm going to experience joy, it has to be shared. If I'm going to experience sadness, it has to be shared. If I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like we're all such of that relational, is relational. Being, and that means God, what you just said, and people, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to experience joy, it's because he and I are having this connection of a joyful moment, and I can turn to you and do, and whatever. If I'm grieving, I grieve here, I grieve here, and I rejoice here, and I, right? That whole thing. So this is, remember, we're right on the line of the before waking up and the after waking up. We're standing on this line, and the boy looks one way and says, look, I'm an adult now, and I see and I own and I accept that I'm not very good at identifying and expressing my emotions. I know that I've been hiding too much, and I can't hear other people when they go emotional on me and they start talking deeper and expressive. And I see that I've been weak on that side of the line, but I'm standing on the waking up line and I look the other side. I see that I've been a lost boy coping my whole life, coping, surviving, escaping, pretending, numbing out. I don't want to die that way. I want to be the man that's open and receptive. And I see a path where I could start learning about feelings and needs and fears and doubts and connecting. And I'm going to cross over to this other side because today I'm awake. And the first time I can see, I don't have to die one way. There's a path to a whole new set of possibility, mm-hmm, a new world, and I'm taking the step. That is the moment, a man. That's the moment of awakening in a man.
Yeah, and I would say this. One of the ways that you can start to realize that you are waking up is that there is this sense of you're reaching a decision point where you're starting to see much more clearly the negative effects that your sleepiness has had, not only just on your own soul, but on your relationships, on life in general. There's a dampening to your spirit in that. But also what you'll realize is you'll start, so there's a growing discontent with living that way, continuing to live that way. And you're starting to gain the courage that's necessary to say, I want to step out into something new. Because guys, it does take courage.
It's true.
If you're going to do anything new, if you're going to say, I'm going to do something differently than how I've done it before,
right,
you can't do that without there being a little bit of fear. Yeah. And so I just want you to know fear is a prerequisite for courage. You can't be courageous if there's not fear.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you feel afraid. But what I want to encourage you is anybody that's listening or watching this right now, if you're a man and you're going, I feel like I'm on that line, then you need to tell someone. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're going to make the crossover to being awake alone. Certainly talk to God about this, but you need another, you need another human being with eyeballs that you can talk to about this and say, you know what? I think I'm waking up. I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing, but I think I'm waking up and I want to live in a new way.
And just saying that, I think I'm waking up
is
the first step over the line. I think I'm waking up. Now, I don't know where to go, what to do, but I took the first step.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember a point, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, where you thought, oh my goodness, that's the past and that's the future. I'm standing. Do you remember or no?
Easily. The most, I mean, it was literally the day my wife left. That was the demarcation day where I knew I'm standing at a precipice right here where I only can make one of two choices. And it was, it was so stark. It was like, I literally remember within that hour, I go, what I do next right now is going to set the trajectory for the rest of my life. It was that clear.
Wow.
Now, I understand not everybody has that clear of a moment, but for me, it was that crystal clear. It was like, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I will be dead within a year. I just knew it. So it's like, I have to turn in a new direction. And you know what? I was scared to death. So much of those first weeks and months of my recovery was me going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And guess what? Did you know I still say that in my life? There's a lot about my life that I go, I don't know what I'm doing. But you know what? I've at least learned what the positive risks, the healthy risks that it is to say in any area where I need growth and I go, I don't know what I'm doing. I've learned that it's good to take a step in that direction because there's people that do know what they're doing that can come around me and help me grow in that.
I love that line. I don't know what I'm doing. It's so honest. It's so present. It's so real. I don't know what I'm doing, but I have a God and I have a friend and I have a book and I have a podcast. I can learn.
And that's what I would say the end to that is to say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to grow and I want to learn and I want to be a different man. I want to keep growing because it's a growth mission, right? We talk about that all the time.
I don't know what I'm doing. That's so beautiful because there's an awakening in that statement.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. And if I keep doing that, I'm going there. And it's like, I bet I don't, this is not right. Right. Yeah. Then the shift can occur.
And so if you are in that moment where you're feeling like you're waking up, our ministry is here to help you take your next best step. Amen. And so we want to help you reach out to us. Tell us your story. Tell us that you are waking up because we want to help you take that next step. And we love that you listen to Pure Sex Radio. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the next episode. Take care.
God bless. Thank you.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.